is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And today we continue looking at the upcoming May primary election. We're talking to statewide candidates and local ones as well. Another candidate for governor, Republican Bill Sizemore, joining us from Redmond. Bill, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be here.
So for folks maybe not familiar with you, talk a little bit about your background, your career, some of the things you've done.
Well, that's that could be a pretty long topic. I used to have a couple of radio stations in Portland. I did my own news talk show. And I did a stint with the Discovery Channel Gold Rush show, the season they did in the jungles of South America in Guyana. But I think my real claim to fame is I put about 25 measures on the statewide ballot and cut taxes by $10 or $15 billion. Most people's property taxes would be about double what they are now were it not for a measure I put on the ballot. And I was a Republican nominee for governor back in 98 against John Kitzhaber, back when the Republican had no chance. I actually think a Republican is going to win this fall, which we can get into if you care to. But I have back then I ran just because I wanted to debate the guy. And, you know, John Kitzhaber was he's a pretty bright guy and fairly liberal. And I'm staunchly conservative across the board. But we had some pretty interesting debates. And in fact, I think OPB did one of the debates on statewide TV, and I did so well that they changed the agreed to time to run the debate from prime time to late at night when no one was watching, because Kitzhaber didn't win the debate as I thought he would. But I've been around Oregon politics quite a bit, and I've made some pretty serious enemies from the public employee unions. At one point, a judge in Portland gave the teachers union what amounted to a $4.4 million judgment against me personally. No trial. I was not a party or defendant in any case where I, you know, had an attorney representing me or anything. The teachers union just went into a Multnomah County judge and asked him for the judgment, and they got it. And they came to me a few months later. They tried to use that for leverage and said, look, Bill. They did this in front of a judge, by the way, which is totally illegal. They said, look, Bill, you owe us $4.4 million. You don't have $4.4 million, and we don't want $4.4 million. We just want you to go away. And if you'll sign an agreement to stay out of politics for 16 years, we will forget the money. Well, I turned them down, and eventually I was successful at overturning that to where I don't owe the unions any money. But that's how that just kind of demonstrates how much influence I was able to have in the Oregon political process, that the public employee unions would try to bribe me out of politics, sue me out of politics, prosecute me out of politics, anything they could do to get rid of me. And I'm still here.
So what drew you to politics initially?
Well, that's another long story, but I was simply driving down the road one day. Living in Portland in the Mount Tabor area. I live in Central Oregon now. But I was driving down the road and I heard on the radio that some guy that represented my district in Mount Tabor was running unopposed in the Democrat primary, no Republican challenger, for an election that was only 4 days away for the primary. And he was getting the office of state senator simply by putting his name in the hat. And something inside me said, that's not right. There's got to be somebody challenging people just to hold them accountable. So I ran a quick write-in campaign. I wasn't even registered to vote. I mean, that's literally how politically naive I was. And I won the primary with a write-in campaign, and then I lost. I got like 44%, which for a Republican, a conservative Republican in Multnomah County, inner Multnomah County, was pretty impressive. But nonetheless, I lost. But I got the bug, and I started thinking about how we have I actually went to Bible college. And I graduated from a Bible college, taught for 2 years as a professor. And I started thinking, you know, there's other ways to make your life count besides being a preacher or a missionary. Or why don't you get involved in things that change society for the good? And politics is one of those areas where a lot of Christian conservatives have just ignored it. And the result has been that the far left has taken it over, and they threaten the very foundations of our culture and our society. And I made it my life's goal to fight against that.
Now, you formed a taxpayers group along the way. Talk about that.
Well, I formed Oregon Taxpayers United, which had about 21,000 donating members. And my goal when I started that organization was to go out and fight tax and spend liberal Democrats and fight the public employee unions who have, in my opinion, a stranglehold on Oregon politics. That they're the ones who really call the shots. It's not the Democrats who call the shots in the state of Oregon. The Democrats do what the public employee unions, their financiers, want them to do. And so Oregon Taxpayers United, I wrote a lot of measures, over 100, put about 25 on the ballot, and as I said, cut taxes by billions of dollars, and pretty much set the agenda for what the state would talk about by using Oregon's initiative process and the donations people gave me to go out and do what I did. And I put measures on the ballot, like things, no new taxes or fees without voter approval, property tax cuts, PERS reform, require English immersion for immigrant students, merit pay for teachers, and requiring that schools keep the best teachers when there are layoffs and not just the ones with the most seniority as the union wants, and measures to stop them from using public resources, the public payroll system, to collect political funds, which is really the strength of the Democrat Party, is the coerced payroll deductions that they get from public employees' paychecks. And I tried to make them get permission to do that, tried to get them to not use the public payroll system. And altogether, the union spent in the neighborhood of $60 million fighting my measures. And I have to tell you, there have been numerous speakers of the Oregon House when Republicans controlled the legislature, speakers in the House, presidents of the Senate who were Republicans have asked me to come into their office where, when no one's looking, they firmly grabbed my hand with both of theirs and shook it and said, "I just want to thank you for our majority, because I know we would not have the majority we have had you not put measures on the ballot that sucked up all the public employee union money, and that enabled us to win seats that they would have bought otherwise." So, I mean, it's been an interesting ride, but when you play that role, you make a lot of enemies, you get attacked a lot, and I certainly have the arrows both in the scars in my front and my back to demonstrate that, but I wouldn't change a thing.
Now, you've had some rocky personal times in there. I mean, some past legal issues. What about those?
Well, I encourage people, if you would go to friendsofbillsizemore.com, go to that website. Unlike other candidates for office, I actually have a tab at the top of the page. It's kind of small print, but it's there, that says lawsuits and prosecutions. And not many guys running for office have that, but I do. And the reason I do is because the public employee unions have tried to bribe me out of politics, as I explained a moment ago. And they have tried to sue me. They sued me for $18 million, which is kind of a compliment, I guess, to be sued for that much money. And the left tried to prosecute me out of politics. And they set up a situation where I couldn't file my state tax returns. I went ahead and paid my estimated taxes, so I wasn't trying to avoid anything. And based on legal counsel, I didn't actually file the returns until some issues were resolved. And they indicted my wife and I for felony tax evasion. And unlike what you will read in the media for the next several months, they actually changed those charges to simply not filing. They dropped the tax evasion charge and just said simply not filing your tax returns. And then the judge, this is hard to believe, people think I'm lying. They think I'm talking about a third world banana republic country, but the judge actually ruled that I would not be allowed to put on a defense, no defense whatsoever. I couldn't testify. I couldn't tell the jury that I'd paid my estimated taxes, over $50,000 in estimated taxes, so I wasn't trying to evade anything. She just said, no trial. I mean, no defense. And if you try to put on a defense, I will hold you in contempt and declare a mistrial. And so they basically forced me to plead guilty. The judge, to her credit, 3 years later, she backtracked and retroactively changed the charges to misdemeanors. And so I got my gun rights back and the things that I'd lost. But the unions and the Democrats will still say that Bill Sizemore committed tax evasion. But the charges weren't even tax evasion. They were just not filing your tax returns, which I didn't do to protest or anything else. I just didn't file because I, under advice of legal counsel, I shouldn't until some issues were resolved. But I did pay my estimated taxes. But those things are they're really behind me. But if you read on my website, I go to friendsofbillsizemore.com and read that tab. You'll see, in fact, you'll be shocked at a lot of things that, I mean, literally, this is no joke. The Department of Justice says to me, Bill, we know your wife hasn't done anything. She's an innocent spouse. But if you'll plead guilty to these charges, we will drop the charges against your wife. But we've seen how she is in court. She's very emotional. She's crying. You know, you can understand that. And so if you'll plead guilty, we'll drop the charges. But if you don't plead guilty, we're going to charge your wife with additional crimes. Now, that's how Democrats militarize the Department of Justice. They've done it against Trump. They've done it against Tom Dean. They've done it against lots of people. And they militarize it to persecute their political enemies. And I can forgive what they did to me. You know, I'm a Christian and I believe in forgiveness and even your enemies. But what they did to my wife, which eventually they dropped everything against her when they saw that, you know, I didn't fold. But they put her through hell for no reason other than to get at me. And I'm not so quick to forgive that.
We're going to take a break and fast forward to the current run for Governor Bill Sizemore. When we come back, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Short break now on Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, a special program. We've connected with talk show host, John DePetro from Rhode Island, who's currently just inside Poland, about 10 miles from the Ukraine border, covering what's going on in the Ukraine, and we'll go there live tomorrow for Inside Douglas County. Republican candidate for Governor Bill Sizemore with us. Fast forward to this year, we've got a crowded field between both parties. We've got 34 people running for governor. What drew you into the race this year?
Well, I think that this is the opportunity kind of a lifetime for conservatives to, a truly conservative Republican to win this seat. The three-way race with Senator Betsy Johnson running as unaffiliated and having millions of dollars, I think she'll draw about 2-1 Democrats over Republicans. And they, in fact, I think that the conservative Republican, and I believe I will be that person, is going to come in first, and Betsy Johnson is going to come in second. And the Democrat, probably Tina Kotek, another Kate Brown on steroids type candidate, will come in third. And it'll be quite shocking to the country when that happens. But I have I am of the opinion that, you know, we're talking about the homelessness crisis, the Antifa riots, and nobody responded to them and letting them get away with pillaging and burning. They look at those issues, but the real problem for the state of Oregon, I mean, I take strong positions on all of those, but the real problem for the state of Oregon that you cannot fix anything unless you actually address this is the stranglehold that public employee unions have on Oregon politics. And I have built a history of taking them on, of challenging their payroll deductions and all the things that they do that secretly kind of force Democrats to do their bidding, including putting us, you know, $25 billion in the hole with PERS. I have an approach to fixing that and the background and the boldness to do that that I don't think any of the other candidates do. And I will tell you up front, I'm not attacking any of them, but I think there's several you know, good people that are solidly conservative running for this office. I just don't think any of them are tested and proven that they will actually have what it takes to dethrone the public employee unions and turn Oregon around.
Along with that issue, what are some of the other top issues you would address if elected governor?
Well, there's the list would be quite long, and the homelessness crisis is probably front and center on people's minds. People don't realize this, but there's another issue that the legislature has been talking for the last couple of sessions, and they've been trying to figure out how to, quote, reform Oregon's property tax system. And I basically wrote the property tax laws we have today, and they want to reform them. When they say reform them, they mean that they are going to try to raise the taxes of a lot of Oregonians so that taxes are what they would call more equitable and fair. And as governor, I would protect what we have. And in fact, if anything, I would support reducing property taxes and limiting them further. But I would veto anything the legislature tries to put out that would increase property taxes or toll the highways or anything else that increases taxes. And I'd like to get right in the middle of the forest management crisis that we have in Oregon, where the crazy environmentalists and left-wing judges have prevented us from having the kind of forest management you need to have to avoid catastrophic fires like we've experienced in the last couple of years. We need to do wise forest management, and we need to thin where we need to thin and backburn where we need to backburn, and so that we don't end up with forest fires that are just destroying not only billions of board feet, but threatening homes and lives.
How is the state doing financially? What's your assessment there?
Well, the state's loaded. The problem is, when you have Democrats in charge, it doesn't matter how much money they have. They'll still try to steal your kicker. They'll still try to raise taxes. They'll still raise every fee they can raise. And I want to turn the state back to fiscal sanity, where we don't spend everything that comes in. In fact, if we have so much money coming in that we can't spend it, then we need to give taxpayers further breaks, because people are just trying to survive out there with inflation. And it's, I believe, totally Democrat-caused inflation, taking such a big chunk out of people's paychecks and also the tax increases, which I totally lay at the feet of the Democrats, not tax increases, but gas prices, I totally lay at their feet. We need to give taxpayers a break, not look for more ways to get money out of them. And I will be the strongest stop or block to Democrat efforts to raise taxes that this state has ever seen.
What has the reaction been to your campaign since you filed?
Actually, pretty good. I've been surprised. I was a little timid at first about, you know, with all the background and all the attacks I've endured, but people have been excited, encouraged, and I've only just started raising money, but I've been more than enthusiastically received. I've given speeches and get standing ovations. So I'm excited. I actually think, if people knew my background and how much political experience I had, they know I'm not just glibly saying this. I actually think I'm going to win the primary, and I think I'm going to win the general election and be the first Republican governor in the last 30 years.
Now, we haven't had a governor of the Republican Party since Vic Atieu. Why do you think that's been?
Well, the largest reason, I think, has been the last few times we have nominated pretty moderate people. Newt Bueller, he's not even a Republican anymore. And Chris Dudley, I liked Chris, but Chris didn't know anything about politics, and he was very, very moderate. And the last time, Bud Pierce. Bud is not what you'd call a staunch conservative, though I think he's talking more conservative this time than he has in the past. But Oregon has not given voters the clear choice of a solid conservative for quite some time. And I don't think the state was ready for us. I think the state was in a place to where we were just kind of lollygagging along and everything was going okay. But now we've seen the Democrats cannot govern. They are turning Portland into a Baltimore or a Chicago or a Detroit, and their approach to law and order their lawlessness has, and the way they just let bad guys go, and the cops arrest them and they let them out of jail the next day, and then they take the sides of the criminals over the cops. I think people are seeing that Democrats cannot govern, and we are going to see a reaction this year nationwide like we haven't seen in a generation.
Do you think that Oregon is going to add more Republicans to the legislature?
I do. I don't have a sense yet as to whether there's going to be enough of a red wave at the legislative level for us to take the House or the Senate. It's possible, but I don't have a sense of that yet. I pray so, because when I'm governor, I don't want to just veto things, which I'm perfectly willing to do, but I want to accomplish some good things, good conservative things, and you need control of the legislature to do that. But I'll play with whatever hand is dealt to me.
How active has your campaign been so far?
Oh, Barry, I'm a general contractor. I have 5 painting crews, 3 in Central Oregon and a couple in Portland. And I've got people running those. I've been delegating responsibility, and I've just been out there and traveling. And I've got several debates and candidate forums coming up. And so it's now pretty much my full-time job.
So if people want to find out more about your background, some of your positions, talk about your website or any of the social media you have.
Yeah, I would just recommend that you go to friendsofbillsizemore.com, and you'll see, updated pictures of me there and a bunch of cartoons that the media has put out to try to smear me. And actually pretty funny. So I put them right on my website, which kind of goads them a bit. And you can see how you can donate there. And I appreciate it if you not only would vote for me, but, pitch in some money. I think this is an opportunity, like I said, of a generation for BillSizemore.com to Friends of BillSizemore.com and our campaign to win this election. And it'll be the most exciting day in Oregon politics in a very long time.
Republican candidate for Governor Bill Sizemore, thanks for being on today.
Absolutely. Thanks. I enjoyed it.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.